Minka, Dan Matthews, Gridiron Now. How much is Florida State being brought up amongst you guys right now, and how close are you with any of those guys through the recruiting process, and are you still talking with some of them?
You said how much is it being brought up?
Yeah.
It's being brought up a lot. It's the first game. Everybody's excited. It's 52 days away, and they're a great team. Two great legacies going out there, going to compete, have a lot of fun, and it's also, like you said, we know a lot of people recruiting-wise, and they recruited me pretty hard, so I know a lot of guys out there, and it's going to be a whole lot of fun to play against them.
Let's go right side, second row on the aisle.
Hey, Mink, Scott Griffin, Smash Mouth. Talk a little bit about how you tried to develop your game, because you play every position back there, and you've had to and done it well. So what do you foresee your senior year going in? What are you trying to look for improve? And then also that defensive front, got to replace a lot of guys, and I know they got talent there, though.
Definitely trying to improve just all around, because just playing the defensive back position is really hard, so there's a lot of things that kind of intertwine, so there's nothing really specific that I can point out, but just everything. So, like, every weekend I'm doing extra stuff, different position stuff, different technique stuff, different footwork stuff, just trying to get better. And like you said, we lost a lot of guys in the front, but we have a lot of guys and a lot of talent that we could replace.
Also right side, second row in the middle.
Hi, you're from New Jersey, so I don't know how much you knew about the Auburn-Alabama rivalry before you got there, but what does that mean to you now being at Alabama, and what are you most looking forward to about that game this year?
It's a crazy – I mean, in New Jersey, football is pretty big, but it's not like down here. Well, the passion of the fans is not like down here. And, you know, it's a lot of fun to playing against a team like Auburn, and knowing that if you win, people are going to remember that for the rest of their lives, and I'm going to remember for the rest of my life too. But just the passion in the game is pretty fun and crazy.
Right side here, third row.
Jim Johnson, Southern Pigskin. Is there a story you can tell that kind of explains what makes Coach Saban so special?
I would say when I first got there, when I got there my freshman summer, Coach Saban was getting on me real bad. And, like, I would mess up, and he would just get on me. And I was getting frustrated. Well, at first I was getting frustrated, but after a while, when I started, like, kind of getting it, he was still getting on me. And I was getting mad because I was doing what I was supposed to do, and he was still yelling at me. And he seen I was getting frustrated one day, and he had talked to me, and he was just like, it's like, the reason why I'm getting on you is because I know how good you could be and how great you could be. And that just made me appreciate it a whole lot more. And it kind of gave me a view on why he's so hard on the whole team, because he knows how great we can be and the things that we could do if we all just listen to him and follow what he says.
Let's go center aisle in the back on the camera.
Hey, Minka, Molly Walsh with the Tuscaloosa News. So based on where you've been after the hurricane and the flooding in your house and football sort of taking you to that next level, if you could go back and do it all again, would you? And what has football done for your life, negative or positive?
I'll definitely do it again because, one, I don't know where a different life would take me. And two, just because, like, I'm here in this situation, and there's a whole lot of people who wish to be in my shoes, and you know, you got to know that and appreciate that every single day, and just know that it can all be taken away from you in a snap of a finger. And like I said, I would definitely do it all over again.
Left side here, second row in the middle.
You know, every coach out there preaches, don't remember last year, or, you know, don't get too big for your britches, don't let your head get too big, right? But, like, somehow Alabama every single year is, people are talking about Alabama and going to the Final Four and going to the national championship. You guys have this ability to stay at the top. How does Saban do it? Because every coach talks about it, right? Like, every coach talks the talk, but how does he walk the walk and keep you guys at the top year in and year out?
Just the demand he has for us, because even after we win a game and we could blow a team out, he'll still get on us and start yelling at us. And we'll walk in the locker room thinking that he's going to be like, oh, good game, guys. But he's in there, he stands up on a little Gatorade thing and starts cursing at us and getting on us. And we're like, man, we just won 56-0. And he's telling us we could play better. That's how he does it, though. That's how it keeps us from not getting complacent and satisfied with where we are. So I mean, it's good that he does that.
Left side here, second row by the door.
Chris Walsh, SEC Country. Mink, I know it's only the middle of summer, but what already stands out about this year's team? What's different?
I'll definitely say, one, we're a young but old team at the same time. There's a lot of guys that we do need to replace after losing to the NFL or just being seniors or graduating. But we also have guys that are older and more experienced that are going to be out there at the same time. So we have a lot of guys that are learning from each other and just getting better off of each other.
Front row here, left side.
You mentioned it a little bit, but does it carry a little bit more weight with Coach Saban when he gets on you, given his history of coaching your position?
Well, yeah, that's definitely true. Carries a whole lot of weight because he has 40-plus years of experience in the game. So if he says something, you have to listen.
Left side here, front row.
Minka, Ben Baby from the Dallas Morning News. Y'all started the year out in Arlington last year in that neutral site game against USC. What did you make of that whole experience, and what did you think of it?
It was a lot of fun just going out there and being able to enjoy Dallas for a little bit and playing in that stadium because it's one of the nicest stadiums I've ever seen and ever played in. So being able to play out there was a great opportunity and a blessing.
Let's go to the right side here in the back corner.
Matt Selesky, Fox Sports Shoals Radio. Good morning, Minka. Growing up in the Northeast where the NFL is obviously very big and it's more Big Ten country, what's the overall perception of Alabama in that part of the country?
To be honest, a lot of people, they hate on Alabama pretty much because, like you said, it's Big Ten country, and a lot of people like want everybody to stay home in New Jersey or around the Northeast. But I just thought the opportunity for me was better down here and my family. So, like I said, I mean, I don't want to say they're hating because now I'm gonna get a whole lot for saying that. But I don't want to say they want to be like Alabama, but they do.
Let's go right side here, front row on the end.
Wade Smith, iHeartMedia, Birmingham. We talk a lot about leaders. Who is that emotional leader in the defensive secondary with you? Who keeps you hyped up during the tough games?
The emotional leader?
Yeah.
I mean, we got a lot of guys that keep each other focused and stuff like that, but the guy that definitely gets us loud and gets us hyped up, I would say Tony Brown. He's if you go out there today on 7-on-7, you're gonna hear Tony Brown screaming and hollering and just jumping around, and I feel like it'll definitely be Tony, the guy who gets us hyped up.
We have time for one last question. Let's go here, left side by the wall.
Minka, Bruce Feldman, Fox Sports. Earlier, Coach Saban had mentioned, don't want to waste, you know, the loss and what comes with it. And also, there was something about a lack of maybe ownership and lack of accountability that maybe had happened from the time of the end of the SEC season to when you got into the playoff. As a leader, how do you remedy that going forward this year so that doesn't happen if you guys are in a similar situation?
One, I take it as a challenge because it's partly my fault because I was a leader last year and I kind of let things slide and I would see certain things and just let it go under the rug, and it affected us towards the end of the season. And so it's definitely a challenge. And I feel like you said, we had to learn from the loss and just know that we lost the game, but we have a choice to let it beat us again or to actually learn from it and use it as a guideline of what not to do for this season. You said, what are the things I saw? I can't give exact detail, but there's small things.